Nation. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Pete Hegseth. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, Education Nation listeners. We're so happy to have you back here on Saturday morning at KLBB. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and my awesome, again, co-host, Pete Hegseth.
I prefer humble.
But... humble. All right. Well, I don't know if I can say that.
It's got to be true, so you can't say it. I love being here.
True.
I'm humble because I am not the knowledgeable one here. You are. My job here is to learn, as with the rest of the audience of Education Nation, and you do a great job of it.
And you bring lots of great color.
I try.
All right. Well, a couple weeks ago, if you were with us, we talked about school choice and the importance of school choice. And we want to go back and circle back to that topic today because we also want to highlight the fact that school choice is really the best solution for closing the achievement gap, in my opinion.
So this is kind of the why. Why is it so important?
Yeah,
and in fact, 2 weeks ago, or about 10 days ago, we heard Donald Trump talk about it on the campaign trail. Two speeches about educational choice.
Right.
And he's speaking to, in front of black audiences, black communities, saying, you've been underserved. Here's a way to solve it.
Right. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking to somebody who works at an inner city school right here in Minneapolis. That's a private classical Christian school that is closing the achievement gap.
I'm excited
gap.
About
They're
that
doing
interview.
Amazing
It'll be great.
Work there. And what I just think is really important for our listeners to note is that, you know, when you think about true choice, you in education, you think, well, there's charter schools and there's magnet schools and all these different things. But really, all of those are still secular. They are all still within the realm of one type of education, even if they maybe emphasize one thing over another. But when you get into the private school realm, that's where you can bring in other elements to the education, whether that be faith or, well, I guess typically
well, some
faith is
levels
what you,
of discipline,
what it usually is. Right?
Yeah, or,
yes.
or real history.
A lot
I mean,
of things that come with that is
yes.
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and the point is that's when you really get true choice, and it isn't just the inner city kids who deserve true choice. It's everyone who deserves true
that's
choice.
Right. Yep.
But in the inner city, the stakes are higher because these kids are not getting a good option within their neighborhood public schools.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, they're languishing in these public schools.
Well, I anticipate we're going to get some very powerful statistics from Debbie.
Yes.
Harris is our guest from Hope Academy
for
the majority of this show. And she's going to talk about, I believe, just a bit limited information, what a big difference classical education really does make.
It really does. It makes a huge difference. And we know that school choice leads to better results anyway. You know, the Heritage Foundation did a research study back in 2011, and others have done the same to really validate the fact that school choice does lead to better academic results, usually higher graduation rates, higher math scores, higher reading scores. And so we know this works. And so we really need to take a serious look, especially when we look at these inner cities now and see what's happening there.
100%. And don't just take our word for it. In fact, many leaders in the minority community, they list school choice as the number one solution to bridging the achievement gap. A couple of different clips caught our eyes as we were preparing for this show. I was actually hosting Fox and Friends on guest hosting on August 27th, and there was a pastor, Mark Burns, that was on the show. He had been on another morning show, Morning Joe, a couple days before, debating with Al Sharpton. And Pastor Mark Burns happens to be an African-American who supports Donald Trump, has a different view of education. He talked about the power of education on that show, Fox and Friends, and I thought it was such a poignant example. I want to play it this morning. I'm going to channel my Mark Levin and say, cut one, go.
Always in education. I mean, it was amazing to see the African American, Latino, Muslim leaders, Haitian leaders, all together echoing the same thing. The number one issue plaguing the minority community is education. Parents need to have the right to choose the schools that their children can go to.
That And so the clip goes on because he had a back and forth with Al Sharpton. But it's regardless of your background, your race, your ethnicity, they want their kids to succeed in school choices and opportunities.
Absolutely. And they deserve an excellent education so that they can have every opportunity that every other child in this nation
exactly
has.
Exactly right. Yes. Speaking of opportunity, your example was from a senator.
Yes. So Senator Tim Scott has what he calls his opportunity agenda. And he was sharing at CPAC a couple of years ago the importance of education. And we're going to play cut two. I don't know that I can
cut
do it,
two.
Just like Levin.
Go.
That parents and not bureaucrats in Washington should decide the path of their child's education. They should be free to choose. They should be free to choose homeschooling, public schools, charter schools, parochial schools. It should be the parents' choice. Because when the parents have the choice, the kids have a chance.
I love that last quote. Mm-hmm. When the parents have a choice, the kids have a chance. You know what? We've lost sight of the fact that parents know what's best for their kids.
Yeah.
And we need to give them the driver's seat once again. And I don't care if you're talking about in the suburbs or the inner cities, the parents know best.
And you know what? Even when there aren't two parents, let's say it's a parent or a grandparent, or usually there is a loved one that cares for that kid and wants them to succeed.
Yes.
And oftentimes the default is, well, I got to go to a local public school where I know they're just not getting a quality education. Okay. Parents don't want that.
No.
They will. Experience shows they'll fight for more.
You look at right here in Minneapolis. The graduation rate of the Minneapolis public schools is 50%.
Speaking of that, stick around with us because Debbie Harris was the curriculum director, is a teacher now at Hope Academy, which is basically Liberty Classical Academy inside Minneapolis.
In South Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So Rebecca's going to lead that interview on the other side of Education Nation.
Well, welcome back. We are here talking about school choice and how it is the best way to solve the achievement gap. And we're going to be talking here shortly with a woman named Debbie Harris, who has been the curriculum director for years at
Talking about it. Let's talk with somebody who does it.
We are, yes. And Deb Harris, we're going to have her on in a second. Like I said, she works at a school in Minneapolis that is a classical and Christian school, just like Liberty is in in White Bear Lake. But they are working with inner city kids and achieving extraordinary results. So, Deb, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you on today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, Deb, about, well, first of all, you were curriculum director there for how many years?
For 7 years.
For 7 years. That's what I thought. And now Brave Deb has launched back into the classroom. Her passion is teaching, and she teaches kindergartners, and she does it really well. So,
I'm sure
you're happy to be back in the classroom. But for 7 years, you served as curriculum director, and you were part of the leadership team there at Hope. And so tell us a little bit about the population that you serve and how you're achieving these excellent results.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So Hope Academy is a school that was opened in 2000, and we started out with 34 students, and actually at that time I was the first kindergarten teacher there, and so we had four staff, and we just sort of jumped in and did it. But anyway, now this year we have close to 450 students K to 12. And the mission of Hope Academy has been very specific. We have wanted to provide a remarkable God-centered education for the youth of the city that is a classical faith-based education that these students that live in the inner city would not have an opportunity to usually have.
Mm-hmm.
So the student, if you look at our student dynamic, we are 80% ethnic minority. Mostly African American, quite a few Hispanic, and then a variety of other ethnic minorities.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 74% of our families are low income because our target is for at-risk youth.
Mm-hmm.
So we are specifically seeking out the families that tend to have children who struggle mm-hmm. in education because of either poverty or because of things going on in the family. Mm-hmm.
So they are the exact population that we're talking about when there's conversation about achievement gaps. This is the population that is experiencing that achievement gap. And yet at Hope, you've been able to give these children this phenomenal education, and you are seeing that that gap is being closed, right?
Oh, we are. It is such an exciting thing to see that what we have believed to be true, to see that fruit coming out in, mm-hmm. in the students. I know in our neighborhood public schools, we're in South Minneapolis in the Phillips neighborhood, which is one of the most diverse neighborhoods actually in the country. Mm-hmm. But the public schools in our area, for math, for example, 24% of students in the public schools are on grade level mm-hmm. in math. Our students at Hope Academy, we have 75%
wow.
that are on grade level.
I want to repeat
yeah.
that. So 24% in the local public school are on track for math, and at Hope, it's 74%. 75%.
Yeah.
75%. That is phenomenal. That is definitely closing the achievement gap. That's incredible, Deb. Congratulations.
Oh, well, this is the work of a lot of people.
Yeah.
But reading made me even happier, so I'll tell you reading, too.
Yeah.
So reading is, in the public school surrounding us, 28% uh-huh. of students are reading on grade level. And Hope Academy, 81%
wow.
are reading on or above grade level.
Okay, so I have been saying for so long that we do know how to close the achievement gap. And classical Christian education is the way to do that. Now, how would you say, I know you would agree with me because that's the school that you're in and you're seeing these incredible results. What do you think is making the difference? Is it just the classical? Is it just the faith? Is it both combined? I'm going to guess you're going to say both, but tell us what you think. Tell us what you think is so important in having closed this achievement gap at Hope.
Okay, that's a really great question. And it of course is not an exact science, and mm-hmm. you know, it's a little messy as we work to try to close this, but what I would say is that first and foremost we have made sure that the God of Hope Academy is God
mm-hmm.
and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And so there have been a lot of people that have come to our school saying, why are you not a charter school where you could get a lot more funding?
Mm-hmm.
But we have felt like having God and faith at the center of what we do is something that is crucial for what we're doing, and we're not willing to give that up.
Right.
And then beyond that, I would say that it's a combination of classical Christian education, because if we're putting God at the center, then classical education, that's exactly what it does.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of classical education is virtue, which mm-hmm. is teaching children about truth, goodness, and beauty. And so we try to think a lot about not what will the child do with the learning, but what will the learning do to the child?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're seeking for a holistic kind of change
mm-hmm.
In the students. And we want to create rich thinkers. And classical education allows you to go deep into idea and into what is worth learning. And we want the kids to understand what is worth learning about.
Mm. Debbie, it's a really powerful message. And I've enjoyed just listening to those numbers and someone with your passion and Rebecca's passion for education. It's an amazing thing to see what you're doing at Hope Academy. I would say, you know, there's a lot of people that think, okay, Southern Minneapolis, diverse community, broken families, lack of opportunity, you know, and there has been this soft bigotry of low expectations that these kids just aren't going to succeed. They're mm-hmm. just, I mean, that's the perception that unfortunately is pervasive sometimes. How do you overcome some of those societal barriers or familial barriers to make sure that a kid entering that school has the same opportunity as some kid in a suburban school? Because I think that is such a key. You can't, you know, in education, you can't control the families they come from, but you can give
mm-hmm.
them a shot. And so what do you guys do at Hope to make sure that every kid has that shot?
Mm-hmm.
That is an excellent question. Well, and you've hit upon one of the most important things about what we do. We found that in order to provide this opportunity, we have to partner with the families. Mm-hmm. So we are not there to take the place of these moms and dads and families that are raising these children. We're there to come alongside them. Mm-hmm. And so we have really worked in a variety of ways to build support systems, to build relationship and community with the families that we bring into Hope Academy. And part of that is done through, it takes a lot at the beginning. We actually have parenting classes and things that are required of all Hope Academy families as they're coming in that the parents commit to, and they sign a contract, and it's all in hope of building a relationship where they understand that we're trying to give this really treasured gift to their child, but it's something we need to do together.
That's excellent.
That's a great point. And yeah. I'm not saying I expected any other different answer, but you're right. You can't just take a kid and throw him in a school and say good luck.
Right.
It's got to
right.
be a partnership
it
with
does.
Families,
it
which
does.
Really is the true incubator.
Now, I know, Debbie, you've told me in the past that you also, as part of that contract, require the parents to come to student conferences. And there's other elements of that contract, right? What are some of the things that you include in that contract to help them partner with you?
Right. So there are a couple of things. When parents come in, families, for instance, that are new to Hope, and they come into kindergarten where I'm at, we kind of call it the front lines because mm-hmm. we have students that are all new to Hope and new to being a student, and we have families that are new to coming to Hope Academy. And so there's a whole lot of learning that has to happen. So there are a series of classes and courses that the parents are involved in taking and meetings to help build community among those parents. And then there are also things where, you know, we say there are events and things that we have that are a part that you come to, and they're required. And so we've learned that it helps really to build trust with these parents to follow through. And so I think in the Minneapolis public schools, I had been told that the attendance for parent-teacher conferences was around 20%, somewhere around there. And ours are at 99%.
Wow.
And I'll take 99%.
Right. Well, and the reason they are is because we do parent-teacher conferences, and as soon as we have a parent who is late, for example, we're calling the parent, and we mm-hmm. reschedule, and we keep following through until we do it. And there comes a point where we say, keep your child at home with you, until we have this scheduled.
Wow.
So if we have something, you
accountability.
I love it. Accountability works both ways.
It
I love
does.
It. Well, no, it's such a beautiful concept. You know, there's no reason parents should be liberated from that responsibility mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. You know, at Hope, I was struck by the stat of a case very similar, you know, to Liberty in some great growth. Mm-hmm. 34 students at 2000, now at 450 students. Mm-hmm. What's the appetite and demand been like from that community? What's mm-hmm. the response been? Obviously strong, but I'm guessing Hope has become a magnet. And what does that look like?
Yes, well, it's been encouraging to have people. One of the things that we do every fall is we spend 3 days when the public schools are at the MEA conference. We spend those 3 days doing home visits, and so we go to every student's home and meet their families. And it's not a conference, it's to get to know them. Mm. And what was encouraging for me as I have over the years seen these families, that they were saying word of mouth is that Hope Academy is a great school, and that that's where you want to be. And that's the best thing we can have is when the community itself, word of mouth, is saying, this is where you want to go.
Right.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. And that, okay. that kind of ties me in, too, because, you know, this whole show that we're doing, Deb, is on school choice. And I think about those 450 or whatever number of kids you said that you have there today. And I think about, well, that's a great number, but that's still a fraction of the kids who are in Minneapolis who would crave and desire that type of education
deserve.
And deserve uh-huh. that education. And so, you know, I know right now you have to fundraise, what, 75, 80, 90% of the tuition for each of these kids? Is that what you have to do right now?
Right. So most private schools, are on the model that something like 90% of income for the school is based on tuition and 10% is coming from donors or things like that. At Hope Academy, we're flipped backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So 90% of our tuition comes from people who are willing to come alongside of us and partner with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10% comes from the families, and it's on a fair share sliding scale. Most of our families, the median income at Hope Academy is about $27,000 a year.
Okay.
So we are at the poverty level with these families, but we still ask them each month to pay an amount for mm-hmm. their child
mm-hmm.
to help for that buy-in. But mm-hmm. what has been the most wonderful thing, I think, for Hope, and the way that a lot of people like to get involved at Hope, is that we have a partner program where just people like you and I, just average people, can partner and be a sponsor for a child. And you get to know that child, and they communicate with you, and you come along and pay the gap in that tuition for that child between what their family can pay and meeting the cost of education for them at Hope.
Which is a beautiful way to do it, because then you're developing that relationship. It can almost be somewhat of a mentoring relationship as well. It's not just that the sponsor is paying for the student to attend school, but they're also able to model, responsible behavior and loving behavior, that type of thing, for that child as well. Because I would imagine that a lot of your children come from single-parent homes. Do you have quite a few that do?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Lots of broken homes, lots of even people who are parenting that are not even immediate family. So
wow.
Aunts, uncles, grandparents, foster care. We have families that are homeless. It's a variety of people that come. And you're right that there are so many children that deserve to have this kind of education that
mm-hmm.
right now aren't able to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And we often have waiting lists.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also feels difficult when we have to turn families away because we don't have the room for that.
Right.
And now more and more we have been excited because across the country there are more and more people saying the same thing, that students that are in the inner city and are in poverty deserve to have a classical Christian education.
Mm-hmm.
And so all over the country, there are people that are starting to network and connect with us in various ways to start schools that are similar to Hope Academy
mm-hmm.
so that we can provide this more and more.
That's excellent. How would you say that this relates to school choice? You know, I think about there's always talk of vouchers, but that doesn't tend to happen in Minnesota. I shouldn't say it doesn't tend to happen. It doesn't seem likely to happen in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But it has in other states across the nation, and there's other ways of helping out with school choice by giving, larger deductions to donors who would donate into a scholarship fund. And, there's a number of different ways to look at school choice. And have you talked about that at Hope and how that can help you?
Well, we have. And, it sort of feels like a two-edged sword sometimes
mm-hmm.
Because there are, if you are receiving money that's considered to be state funds, then sometimes you can have some strings that come along with that,
mm-hmm.
and we want to be really careful that our goal and our vision remain the same.
Right.
But at the same point in time, we, at Hope, the cost per student for us to educate a child is $9,000 a year. In the Minneapolis public schools, it's $21,000 a year.
Look at that.
So,
wow.
So,
that's insane.
Yeah, so economically,
it just
makes no sense.
And yet you're doing 75% reading or math proficient and 81% reading proficient compared to 24 and 28 respectively for the Minneapolis public schools. That's
right.
And they're spending more than twice as much.
Right, because it can't be solved by money. We all know
right.
that putting money toward education is not the answer to what we need.
Right.
Debbie, that's so powerfully and perfectly put.
Yeah.
21,000 compared to 9,000. You look at those results. It's not dollars that are going to do it. It's leaders. It's teachers. Mm-hmm. It's parents. It's principals.
And it's partnership.
Faith, it's a partnership.
With the
it's virtue. Mm-hmm. I wrote those words down: truth, goodness, and duty. I mean, if we're not instilling those
beauty.
In kids,
beauty.
Beauty or beauty?
Beauty.
Oh, beauty?
Beauty.
Judy is good too, Pete.
Oh, I love duty, but I also love beauty. So, hey, those are both
work. You can tell he's a military guy.
I know. But all of those, I mean, whatever combination they are, you guys are doing it right. And I do think it's, when I hear the word wait lists, that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And it's like the same thing you see in some documentaries that have done it very well. But we're always told financially that's not going to work because it costs too much and voucher. If we're spending $21,000 per student in a public school and it costs $9,000 for a quality education like this, you're right. The trick is in how you make sure that by taking the king's money, you don't have all these strings that come with it. But if you could find a way to make sure that does happen, by goodness, what an opportunity! Because I know there are other people that want to do things like Hope and want to make it. Just it's so financially difficult to do so. If the dollars actually did follow the kid in some way, but yet latitude was provided to great administrators and teachers like at Hope, man, you could see a sea change where now generations of kids are getting a quality education and virtue. Mm-hmm. And what kind of country would we have then? It'd be amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, and we would love to be able to reach more. There are students we can't serve that may have higher academic needs, maybe special education or things like that, that we would really like to be able to do, but we haven't been able to have the funds to do that. So having more dollars flowing in that we could use toward a population we haven't been able to serve, I think would be outstanding.
Right. Well, and that's a whole other argument against school choice is, oh, well, they're not helping the students who need the special help. But you know what? As you just pointed out, you're willing to if you could get the hands on the money that to help you finance that help.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're already fundraising 90% of every tuition. And then to be expected to try to go on top of that to help with students who have some significant special needs, there's only so much you can fundraise. So, you know, it becomes exhausting after a while.
Well, Debbie, I know you're busy. You've got some things. You've got some kids coming to the car here shortly, so I'm told. But because you're a mother and a curriculum director and a teacher, and that's what we ask a lot of our teachers is they're overstretched. They do more. They give more. But it's because your heart is in the right place. Debbie Harris from Hope Academy, thank you very much for joining us on Education Nation. And guess what? You've now got me hooked on coming to visit Hope.
Yes.
So maybe I'll come and visit your classroom.
I've done this for myself. And it is phenomenal. It's wonderful to see the work that they are doing and just all praises to you guys. Good job. Yeah. We're so thankful to see you closing the achievement gap and want to see more of that happening across the nation.
Well, thank you. And if I can just interject quickly, if you want to visit Hope, we do a tour of Hope every month, and it's a lunch hour from 12 to 1 that people come and visit Hope and you can learn about Hope. And you'll see it on our website, and it's the third Thursday of every month. The next one is October 13th.
And your website is?
It is hopeschool.org.
Okay. Hopeschool.org. You can check it out to tour it for yourself. Debbie Harris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Well, it's been such a great time having Deb Harris on and talking about how school choice can really help close the achievement gap here across the nation.
That's why we do this show.
Yeah.
Is to learn and hear from people like that and have other people hear it so that they're as informed. It's fantastic. You do the same thing. More people like you, more people like her, and it gives you hope.
Yeah. Hope.
There you go. We hope you are with us next week on Education Nation.
See you then.